Blog Talk Radio.
Oh man, ain't nobody fucking nothing with them, dog.
Masturbators is the best talk radio
nigga,
show.
I know. Listen,
what you
I
mean?
Call every Monday and Wednesday from 10 to 12,
I tune in.
I call that number every week. 323-693-3043. And
I ain't think you knew,
my
yeah,
nigga.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy. Listen, it's Young Nye telling everybody to tune in every Monday and Wednesday from 10 to 12 to the Masturbators, brought to you by Grind Hard Radio. Grind or die, baby.
Yeah. Shout out Junie for the beat. Y'all just tuned in to the Masturbators, by the way. This your boy Sunny E. I want y'all to take the time out before the show even start, you know what I'm saying? Y'all listen to the intro. Y'all need to go ahead and start following your boy real quick. You did that? You clicked that shit? Alright. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Masturbator. Hashtag that shit real quick. Hurry up.
Masturbators tune in now. Time to turn all pose. They like, what the hell is masturbators? What you call it? Fucking see it out, ho. Fuck with that campaign. Conversate on any damn thing. I pull your bitch like a hamstring. Smoking Mary Jane, bumping two chains. Hashtag masturbators, bitch. Whole team is real as hell. Don't call us all that. It's a classic now, like Kenny Kelly. She was turning up, don't give a fuck. About to make these how you sick. First nigga knows to have it so. Ask me, bitches, who got the biggest hit? Real talk. Take your place, laughing all goddamn day. I'm about to go throw back, put on that die like my man Drake.
What?
We so official in here, like we know the rules. Only thing poppin' on Mondays and Wednesdays, we ain't shit to do. No, you gon' love me, girl, gon' follow that nigga E. Go, Sunny, go,
Sunny E.
They got turned up in this bitch, so that's what's good. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Sting. Shout out Walt for hitting me up. My nigga hit me up and asked me to do this shit for y'all. Think this real quick. You know what I'm saying? My nigga Trizzy all day. Cuz, you know what I'm saying? Doing big things. You know what I'm saying? Shout out my nigga JR, man. He overseas doing his thing right now. You know what I'm saying? Y'all make sure y'all keep him in y'all prayers, you know? I ain't forgot about you, man. Shout out Paris, Dia, 90, you know, the team, Ronda Dunn. I got you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to shout out everybody real quick. If I forgot you, my bad. They ain't tell me shit. All right? Enjoy the show, though. Yeah.
Monday, man. You already know what time it is, man. Live with you on the internet. We doing our thing. So we gonna bring that heat tonight. But somebody turn that back. No, that. But yeah, you already know who this is, your boy Walt Frazier, man. You already know the main man from that 229. I'm in the building. Follow me on Twitter at Will Lit the Table, and I will follow back, man. You already know what it is, but, you know, it's not about me, man. I'm going to introduce you to this mighty cast we got right now. First, I'm going to introduce your girl, man. Your girl all the way from, she's right next door to the state, man, to one of the best states. We got your girl from Alabama, your girl Carmen. We're good.
What's good, people? This is Carmen. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @yeah_bit_. I said it. It's Monday. Turn down for what? And, Walt, as always, I'm not even in Alabama right now. You know I come to Georgia every 2 months. So right now I'm in the city. What's good?
Our next host we got on deck, man, coming to the ship. We got your boy Dave, man, representing that Tennessee. What's good, man?
Yo, what's up? This is Dave, Twitter name. I got a new Twitter name, so it's Flavor Dave now, Flavor_Dave. Man, we're ready for the show. I ain't been on in a minute, so let's get it.
All right, that's what's up, homie. All right, next host stepping up to the mic, man. We got your girl, the dark and lovely herself from Raleigh. We got your girl, D, in the building. What's good?
Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Dia. Follow me on Twitter at DarkNBD. I'm representing for the 919. Go ahead, Walt.
All right, that's what's up. That's right now, man. We got your boy. You already know, man, he's the reverend. You already know the pastor, whatever you want to call him, man, the patriot. We got your boy, JR, in the building. What's good, homie?
Yo, what's popping, man? You already know what it is. New York is definitely in the building. It's your boy, JR underscore Jess underscore Wright. I am the voice of reason, and I'm here to fuck shit up. So step into my pulpit, nigga. Let's go.
You already know, man. And, we're going to get this thing started. Make sure y'all hit up the hashtag, man. Any topic you want to discuss, we got you. And make sure y'all call and press one, because we are taking callers throughout the show. So don't be scared to press one. And we about to start this thing off. Let go.
Yeah, and I ain't passing the rock and shooting all the shots tonight, nah, but I'm just playing, man. Hey, first and foremost, man, I just want to take this time out to just send a shout-out to my mom real quick and the rest of my family. Today makes a year since my father passed, so I definitely want to big up my family right now. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to be strong. We're just trying to keep our heads up with that situation, man. Definitely miss you, Pops, and I appreciate all the prayers and concerns from everybody. But just shout-out to my mother, man, Sonya Bridges, man. Ma, I love you. And we're going to keep getting through this thing together. You feel me?
That's what's up, man. That's what's up, dog.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? First and foremost, man, we got some good topics for y'all tonight, man. We definitely want y'all pressing one all night. We try to get as many people as we can on tonight. We got some good topics, and one of the first topics we're gonna discuss is parents and relationships.
Oh,
at what point in time, you know what I'm saying, do you have to confront your parent about your mate, and what are some things that are going to be unacceptable from your mate when it comes to your parents? Prime example. I'm going to give you an example. So let's say me and my shorty, you feel me, my mother means a lot to me or whatever, but let's say my mother and my shorty can't get along, you know what I'm saying, and it's to the point where it's getting borderline disrespectful. So even in the moment of turmoil, it's certain thing that you shouldn't say about another person's parents, regardless of however you feel about them. You should keep some of them opinions to yourself. So what are some things to address with your mate about your parents, and what's some things that you shouldn't say because it's going to be disrespectful? I'm gonna let Carmen rock with this one first, and we'll go down the rest of the line.
Okay, and it's so crazy because I have a cousin that's in this exact same situation right now with the father of her child and his mother, because his mother texted her and called her a bitch recently over something that she had to apologize for after that, because what she thought happened isn't actually what happened, but it's neither here nor there. When it comes to your significant other and a parent, it's all about respect. If I love you, and of course I love my mother and or my father, you are both going to respect each other. Because a lot of times, issue with that is the parent, most of the time the mother, doesn't respect the girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able and willing to tell your mom, like, look, mom, I love you, but this is the person that I'm with. This is the person that I want to be with. Whatever turmoil y'all have between each other, at the end of the day, y'all still have to respect each other.
Okay. I definitely agree with that.
And a lot of people are afraid to tell
their
parents that. I'm sorry.
Right. No, you good. You good. I didn't know if he was closing or not. You can go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you have to be willing to tell both parties when they're wrong. And a lot of people, guys, are afraid to tell their mothers when they're wrong. And a lot of females are as well. Like, I'm sorry, you have to a certain extent be able to put your mother in her place. Look, you had your turn.
Okay.
Now
I agree with you on a certain extent, but I want you to answer the other part of the question. At what point should the female or the male be keeping their personal opinions to themselves about the mother. Like, say for instance, I'm just putting this out there, like, say for instance, like, the person may feel like your mother was dishonest about something. You know what I'm saying? If that was the case, whether it was the case, you know, that's neither here nor there. But say that's the way they felt. Is it appropriate for that person to tell you that your mother is a liar?
No, don't call my mama a liar.
Right.
I feel like
okay.
some relationships get to that point where we're that close for you to be able to say something like that about my mama. But
nah, we'll never be that close.
I don't listen. I don't know about them white people. Them Dave people actually. Dave people can do that. My people, you can't do that. Nope. Don't call my mama no liar. Don't call her nothing besides her name, actually. Let me catch you calling her something outside her name. I promise you, it ain't going to be no more you.
Okay. So being that you brought up Dave, how you feel about that?
can you repeat the question? Because I'm kind of confused.
Okay. All right. The question is that how do you deal with relationships where your mate and your significant other and your parents don't get along? And then what are the things that are going to be tolerated and the things that are not going to be tolerated when it comes to the opinion of your parents from your mate?
Okay, the opinions of my parents. Okay, I'll tell you some of the opinions of the mate. All right.
No.
I don't know, man. Like, my parents have been married since I was born. I'm super close with them. I talk to them every day. And it's kind of like constructive criticism, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'll take it a little bit of what they say into detail, but at the same time, I'm my own man. Like, I'm grown. So,
right.
At the end of the day, ultimately, it's my decision, you know?
Right.
I won't tolerate, like, any disrespect. And the thing about my parents is that they wouldn't, I've only bought two girls from my parents ever, so my parents wouldn't they're gonna straight shoot me. But they're not the type of people who are gonna be like, "What the fuck are you doing? You dig?" Like, my parents always got my back, so I'm always gonna have support from them. So I'm not really worried about that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. So dear, what you think, dear?
I've had to deal with it so many times, but I feel like when it comes to your parent, you should be the one that has to set your parent straight. It should never be your partner who has to come to your mother or your father and get them straight. That's not, I don't know how to put it. That's not, to me, that's not a respectable way to do it.
Right.
Because there's almost no way you can do it respectfully. Like, you
right.
should be able to confront your parents when it comes to it. You know what I'm saying about it? Like, I don't know if y'all seen the new Think Like a Man 2, but it was a situation right down that movie. In the way that the mama's boy, his fiance, wife, whatever, the way she handled it was perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She allowed him to deal with the mother. I think she did have some words for her, but she still respected her at the end of the day, and she was actually going to leave him because she didn't want to put herself over his mother. But you have to remember that that is that person's mother. Whether they're right or wrong, that's still their mother, and you still have to respect them regardless. So I feel like your partner should be the one that confronts their own parents and vice versa. So,
Okay. We got Trizzy on yet? Trizzy came in the building?
Yeah, man, I'm in the building, man.
Okay, man. Welcome, man. I know you was running a little bit behind, man, but, hey, you here, it's showtime, man. So, look, I'm going to throw you the question real quick. Parents and significant others, what do you do in a situation where your parents don't care for the significant other, and what are the things that are going to be tolerated and not tolerated from your significant other when it comes to the opinions of your parents and when it comes to the opinions of your significant other about your parents?
Well, first and foremost, I got to be in a situation where we really committed and I'm really serious. I think that's what's going to separate what I tolerate and what I don't tolerate. So we're in a committed relationship, we're serious. First and foremost, I won't allow neither one of you to disrespect each other. I wouldn't allow
right.
my significant other to say something out the way to my parents, and I wouldn't allow my parents to say nothing out of the way to my significant other.
Right.
And when it comes down to their voice on who I date, honestly, man, I ain't never ran into a situation like that where I even had to worry about it. So if I speak on it, I'll just give you some made-up scenario. But hypothetically speaking, if my parents were to have a negative, let's say a negative opinion, because I think that's kind of what the basis of the equation was going. So let's say a negative opinion. If they got a negative opinion of me, I don't think I'll perceive it. Well, hold on, let me see. A negative opinion of my significant other, I won't allow them to say it publicly or say it in front of them. Now, right. In a sit-down with your mother or your father, y'all can converse about whatever you want to converse about. And technically, if she want to get all her opinions out, that's the best time to do it, just amongst me, so I can decipher what's disrespect, what's shade, what's okay, you know what I'm saying, so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, man, my parents don't have no say-so on who I date. Not me personally. They don't have no say-so. Because at the end of the day, I sleep with that woman. I lay with that woman. I, you know, have sexual intercourse with that woman. So, you know, the outside opinions, I respect them just because they're my parents. But at the end of the day, I make my own decisions. I'm, you know, last time I checked, I'm a grown-ass man. So.
Okay. Now, with that said, and this is the last question on this topic, but I want everybody's opinion. Is it possible to date somebody long-term that your parents don't care for?
Yeah.
And I'll let Dave answer this one first.
Is it possible to date someone long-term that your parents don't care for?
Yeah.
For me, yeah, because I'm going to bring them around my parents and my mom's going to cook for her regardless. That's just how my mom is.
Yeah.
But for me, that's a no-brainer. Yeah, I could date someone long-term that my parents don't care for. As long as I
okay.
care for them, that's really all I care about, because I know my parents ain't going to disrespect them.
Okay. All right, Carl?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Is it just yes? Is that it? Or you got is it
that's
a reason?
It. That's all I got.
Okay.
Nope. All right, down.
Dia. Go ahead, Dia.
Yeah, it's possible. It's not easy. I think at some point, eventually, you're gonna have to deal with it. And
yeah,
somebody's gonna have to sacrifice. Eventually, it's gonna become an ultimatum kind of situation. But
mm-hmm.
it's possible for it to be dragged out. It is, because if you ignore it, so I'll say yeah.
Okay, because I'm just thinking. I guess it depends on the like how close you are to your parents. And you know what I'm saying? Obviously, you know, the current situation. But I'm just thinking, like, when you think about dating somebody long-term and, you know, depending on the kind of family you are, you guys have family functions. And I guess it just depends on how your significant other deals with it, too. You know what I'm saying? If they're constantly trying to, you know, find a way in and the parents is being ignorant about it, then, of course, yeah, you got to deal with that. You got to deal with your parents. But it has to, for me personally, it's going to have to be some type of effort there for my significant other to be able to deal with my parents on a respectful level, even if it's just being cordial when we come to the house. Because what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to have a relationship where I'm going to always feel awkward bringing my significant other around my parents. And I think it's you have to know your parents as well. Like, you know your parents is not going to like or dislike a person just for no damn reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, my parents are not. Anyway, my mom's not. You know what I'm saying? She's not just going to dislike somebody just because she don't really care for her or think she's the one for me. It would have to be something like, okay, well, she might have felt disrespected or at one point in time. Or, like, my mom is real. My mom is really spiritual. So my mom is just like, yeah, there's something ain't right with her spirit. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. But she won't tell me that opinion unless she really feel like it's detrimental. You know what I'm saying? So long term, something will have to give to the point where my significant other is going to have a better impression on my parent, because I don't think we could be together long term, and like it's just a situation where y'all don't never like each other, because that's just gonna be a headache for me. And that's my opinion.
Most definitely, I agree with
that. That's true.
I mean, I just agree with the fact that it depends on your what kind of relationship that you have with your parents. Like I see the situation as far as entertainment and drama goes on Love and Hip Hop. You know, well, I think Scrappy getting better at it, but at one point in time, Buddy played, well, Mama D played a big role in his dating choices and what he did, and she still get all into his relationship business and all stuff like that. So, I mean, I guess, like you said, situational. It depends on your parents and depends on what kind of relationship y'all have, but I just...
Right.
You know, I love my mom to death, but I just feel like though that's an area she don't make a decision for me in. But you know, like I said, I respect her opinion and you know her trying to guide me. But you know, no, I make my own decisions.
I got you. All right, so I had to spin it off real quick when I was going through the topics real quick. And I just know this was kind of like a big thing. And females, y'all bear with us. We ain't going to talk about it long. But I want to get the fellas' opinions real quick. All right. If LeBron and Melo get on the same team, will that affect their stardom? Like, will you look at both of them the same as two individual great players if they decide that they have to team up to win championships? Like, me personally, I'm going to give my real quick opinion. I think a superstar has a two-team minimum. I think that once you go from team to team trying to search for championships, like at some point in your career you felt like you couldn't make it happen with what you had, which is the reason why they have the collective bargaining agreement right now in the NBA because of what happened with the situation with the Boston Celtics back in the day. So do you think that LeBron and Melo teaming up, or do you think even LeBron going to another team besides Cleveland would tarnish his legacy? And I'll give it to Trizzy first.
you know, first of all, my opinion is biased, and I'm gonna.
I know you're a Houston Rockets fan. I know that.
Yeah, that's why I say. You know, I'm gonna start off give you his bias simply because James Harden and Dwight joins forces. Plus, now we're trying to get Bush, so that'll be you know three proven all stars off top. But hold on, somebody's knocking at my window.
Really, oh, I heard somebody's knocking at Trizzy's window.
Okay,
you hear Trizzy?
Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm good. I just want to hear that.
Nico,
you know,
Trizzy.
They had a pistol at the window.
No, it was a female, but that's neither here nor there. them both joining together, man, I think that'd be lame as hell, though. Like, right. You know. LeBron is obviously the most complete player in the NBA right now as far as, you know, just every fucking thing. LeBron dabbling a little bit of everything. In my personal opinion, I would say he's the most complete athlete in the NBA in terms of whatever you're looking for.
Right,
he got it. Yeah. So,
he's the best player in the NBA. Excuse me, in the NBA. He's the best player in the NBA right now. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, when you look at, like the stat sheet, like what he can do and what he can bring to a team. He's not the best in each category. Like he's not the best scorer in the NBA. He's not the best defensive player in the NBA. Like, but he's the best overall athlete in the NBA.
Yeah, he's good. He's good at everything. Everything he do, there's nothing he do completely bad at. He's good at everything
right.
he does. So
right.
you know, and to add that with Melo, who maybe is first or second with the most complete offensive player in the game.
He's
and
the best scorer
you can't
in the
find
NBA,
nobody
down.
Put up more buckets than KD and Melo. Nobody. Nobody putting
okay.
up more buckets. Mm-mm.
All right. That's a different argument. We can argue about that another day. But, yeah. KD only can score in certain areas on the floor, and that's why I give the edge to Melo. Because Melo can score from everywhere on the floor. You know what I'm saying? KD,
yeah.
lightweight, he can't really – he can't post. He can't play with his back to the basket. And that's why I say Melo has the edge over him. Because Melo can score from anywhere on the floor. But anyway, that's another argument. But the point that you're making is if LeBron and Melo join forces, that would be lame as hell for the NBA.
Yeah, that would be lame as hell. Honestly, that thing with the Lakers, man, y'all kiss that shit goodbye. I don't think Adam Silver, when he let that shit go down, even if they did have a cap space. Like, that would be – that. You remember they tried to send CP Chris Paul to the Lakers and they shut that shit down?
Yeah, David – yeah, David Stern, he vetoed that shit.
Yeah, that's like, you know, come on, man. At some point, like let's be honest with each other. Man, when LeBron and Bosh decided to go to the Heat, man, we knew wasn't nobody going to be able to fuck with the Heat in the East. Off top. Like, as soon as it happened, everybody knew, like, damn, these boys going to be tough as hell to beat. Now, they may have lost year one, but look at that. These motherfuckers went to the final four straight times.
That means you done built a team that basically can't nobody fuck with. We just happen to beat y'all every now and then. Honestly, y'all can't fuck with us. So, I mean,
yeah, but the Spurs
spanked them like a badass toddler this year, though.
We ain't going to discuss that. We are not going to talk about that.
I'm saying that the Spurs spanked them like a bad toddler this year, though.
LeBron
twice in the finals
already.
Yeah,
what?
He went.
Yep.
With Cleveland and with Miami.
Yeah, but he went. It don't make no sense to go over to girl house and smell the pussy if she ain't gonna let you fuck.
Yeah.
But I got a side question for y'all. Do y'all think he'll prosper back at Cleveland?
Do I think he'll what?
I think LeBron will go back in Cleveland.
How do you think he'll do back at Cleveland? With the same
I think he'll do
about the same as what he'll do
in Miami next year. I think Cleveland has a better upside for the future than Miami does.
Yeah, get this.
Definitely for the future.
I was reading earlier, Vegas sportsbooks already have the greatest odds that Cleveland's going to win the championship next year.
The who?
For Vegas, Las Vegas sportsbook, like betting book. Today they announced that Cleveland has the greatest chance of winning the championship next year. Like that, they're going to accept that Cleveland is going to win the next year.
Wait, you can't be real. Real quick, y'all name me three other players from the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. Three other players.
Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett, and Kyrie Irving.
I wouldn't even throw Anthony Bennett in there. Deion Waiters. Deion Waiters, y'all talk. You look disrespectful. What the fuck did Anthony Bennett do? He was a failure.
I just wanted to see if y'all could spit out me three other players.
Named three players. I think Anthony Bennett was a fucking butt.
I thought she said name three other great players other than...
I feel like LeBron and Carmelo, in order for them to be great, like, they're at the peak of their career. So in order for them to be great, I feel like they got to play against each other.
Yeah, they can't play with each other. That was like putting what's his name that you got now, Trizzy, to play
for Ronaldo? You trying, Carmen. Go ahead and work, baby. You trying.
I know. Okay, but shut up, Trizzy. I'm trying to make a point. What's the guy that y'all got now, Trizzy?
You talking about James Harden?
No, I love James Harden. He played for whatever. Y'all know who I'm talking about. The White House.
You talking about Dwight?
Thank you. That was kind of like how they put him with Kobe. That was terrible.
That's because Dwight Howard wasn't ready for that stage. Dwight Howard's not. He's not a big market type player. Like, the nigga went to Orlando and had six kids by six different women or five different women, some shit like that. Like, Dwight Howard's not made for the big stage. And once he got to L.A. and realized that's not where he wanted to be, he didn't want to play, which I think is a sorry excuse for a basketball player. Because if they put me in the NBA and put me on the motherfucking Philadelphia 76ers, as long as them checks ain't bouncing, I'm going to go out there and give them my all on the court. So Dwight Howard pretty much played so he can make that move.
When it came down to that situation, I personally feel like that wasn't his system. You could take a player out of one system where he was garbage in. You put him in another system, and like this nigga's most improved player all of a sudden. Like, it's a lot to that basketball shit because he came to Houston and flourished.
But that's what I'm saying. I played college basketball, so like I'm telling you, like my freshman year and my sophomore year I had two different coaches. Like my freshman year, my coach. He went to go coach at Louisville. And then we've got this other guy in. Like, I play point guard. So I couldn't be like, well, we ran a motherfucking box and one freshman year, and now you want to run, you know what I'm saying, another type of play. You want to run motion. So I can't learn that shit, so let me transfer to another school. Like, I'm on scholarship. You feel me? So, like, I had to learn that system, and especially playing like a guard position, I had to learn that position. My thing with Dwight Howard is, nigga, you a post player. It ain't but three places you can go on the floor. That's the left block, the right block, or the middle of or in front of the basket. Like, what the fuck can you learn? You feel me? Like, I just feel like that was Dwight Howard being lazy, bro. Like, even in the triangle offense, the center doesn't do that much. Y'all really think Shaq is a smart – Shaq is not a smart player. Phil made that shit easy for him. You know what I'm saying? The triangle offense for the big man is a simplistic-ass offense.
But Dwight Howard didn't want to play there no more because Kobe was getting on that nigga, and the fans weren't receptive of him, so he wanted to go somewhere else. Is he playing better? In Houston, yeah, he's playing better because that's where you want to be. And that's why I think the NBA has changed. Like, these players, when they're not in the places that they want to be, and they off-season, they texting each other like, bro, we need to get on the same team. Like, we need to do this. LeBron been recruiting for people to come to Miami all year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he been doing that shit. Like, you feel what I'm saying? Like,
bottom line, bro, I'd rather see Chandler Parsons and Mike Miller play together than LeBron and Carmelo.
Like, Melo's my favorite player in the league. And if he goes and play with LeBron, like, that'll fuck me up about Melo. And I think that if I'm in Melo's team right now, what I tell Melo is Melo, let me tell you something. Regardless of where you go, a championship is not guaranteed. It don't matter where the fuck you go, a championship is not guaranteed. But what is guaranteed is that the New York Knicks can give you $30 extra million than anybody else.
Right.
You feel me?
Yeah.
That's guaranteed.
I got a question. Are they playing for loyalty, money, or championships?
They're playing for money and championships. There ain't no fucking loyalty. That shit don't exist in the league. A lot of them niggas in the NBA ain't playing for the league. A lot of niggas in there just playing for the money. Because some niggas, it's a lot of niggas in the NBA who will never win championships. Charles Barkley never won a championship. You feel me? Like it's a lot of great players in the league. Patrick Ewing never won a championship. Sean Kemp never won a championship. Like, there's a lot of good players in the league that won't win championships. But I think the NBA has transitioned from a point where every team had a superstar, every team had a Batman and a Robin. You know what I'm saying? Now the league is transitioned where it's like, it's, let's say, 9 good teams in the NBA, and the rest of the teams is trash.
Right.
You got the League of Super Friends on one team. You got DC Universe on the other team, and then the rest is trash.
And that's why I rooted for the Spurs this year. I'm not a Spurs fan, but I rooted for the Spurs because I want people to see that you can play like a boring-ass style of basketball, and if you stick with the people that you know and you believe in the system that you're playing in, you'll be any team. It don't matter what the superstars is. Like, I'm telling y'all, man, like, when I played in college, bro, like, I wasn't the greatest player in college, but basketball is such a simple game. You just have to do what you're good at. Everybody can't go out there and score 30 points a game. Everybody can't guard there, but, like, what I can do is the nigga who I'm guarding, I can make sure he don't get no bucket. And I got 5 fouls to give. You feel me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it is. But LeBron, them, and people want to say it started with Boston, but it didn't start with Boston because when the Boston got the big three, all of them was past their prime. You know what I'm saying? Kevin Garnett, Rondo, you know what I'm saying, and Ray Allen, like, they was on the back half of their career. During the early parts of their careers, them niggas tried to do it by themselves. Kevin did it in Minnesota. Ray Allen did it in Milwaukee. And Rondo was just coming in the league. You understand what I'm saying? And, I mean, Paul Pierce had already been in Boston. But LeBron and them did that shit. And, like, it's created a frenzy in the league where everybody trying to join powers.
It takes some of the competition out of it. But, you know, at the end of the day, but on the flip side of that, it do show you how, you know, players are getting better. And there's more and more players that's getting better. I mean, you can take a superstar and put on every team, you're going to still have somebody that got two. So,
of course.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
But I still don't agree with everybody's team.
And people always want to say, well, Jordan had Pippen. And that's true. But those were draft picks, and that's the
Jordan
way the Bulls were set up.
Team.
Yeah, Jordan had a team, but that's just the way the chips fell. None of them were superstars. But look, the year Jordan left, Pippen was a star on that team, and them niggas didn't win the chip.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the year that Houston won the chip. Akeem Olajuwon them won the chip.
Oh, yeah, they can't fuck. Yeah, they can fuck with Akeem Olajuwon, though.
Yeah, man.
Nah,
so,
really all right,
cool. So with that said, that's gonna transition us into the next topic, so I get my ladies back in here. Ladies, when the game is on, do you understand that how important it is for you just to sit there and pretend like you know what the fuck is going on? Do you understand that, like, sometimes your nigga just wants you to watch him play Grand Theft Auto? Like, he don't want you to go in the other room and turn the TV on and go watch Lifetime. He wants you to sit in there on the couch and watch him run around on Grand Theft Auto and get his money up and get a house with 10 cars. Like, some women don't understand, like, how important it is that you want a nigga to do what you want to do. Like, you want a nigga to watch them side movies with you. You want a nigga to go to the park and you and hold your hands. But you can't sit here and watch me bust this nigga ass on that end. What's the problem with that?
I don't have no problem with that. If anything, he'll be the Cameron and I'll be playing before he is. They just be dope.
Look at Carmen trying to be one of the guys.
Right, look at Carmen. Carmen is a super bitch. She's a,
you know what?
A super woman. She's a super bitch.
That's
like, she do everything.
Like,
she's like
Carmen want to be everybody's favorite girlfriend so bad.
Right. Carmen the one girl who know how to open beer bottles with her teeth and shit.
Okay, yeah, you know, like.
No, that's terrible. No, that is terrible. I can't.
Oh,
do that.
My God.
I guarantee you, I can beat your ass at this Call of Duty, though. What it is. Like, that
Carmen,
we can go at it in. But I ain't opening no beer bottles with my teeth. Nah, bro.
Carmen know how to roll blunts. You know what I'm saying? She know how to make. She know how to make
look,
them,
I don't
make
smoke,
them,
but I can't
make cigarettes.
I am.
Carmen,
I do know how to open bottles with my teeth, though.
Now here come Dia. Here come Dia.
Oh,
Dia is super bitch too.
I'm not a super bitch because I don't give head. So apparently I don't meet the criteria.
Oh, you out of here.
Oh yeah, it's over with. You ain't even making it out.
You out.
Yeah, you ain't even making it to the crib.
Y'all saw Dia on the hashtag though.
Nah, what Dia say on the hashtag?
Just nothing.
I posted a
picture
of D on the hashtag. I
didn't
know she was modeling,
bro. But, yeah, so listen. So, ladies, I'm just saying, like, okay, so obviously you ladies are super bitches, like, which I thought you would give me the answer. explain that to the other women who don't understand, like, listen, sometimes you just got to do what he like to do in his world. And sometimes that means spectating. That don't mean you sit on the couch and you go to sleep while I'm playing the game. Like, I want you to, like, notice what I'm doing. Like, did you just see that play? Like, do I need to hit the replay button for you? Or did you just see
right.
me? I'm on a motherfucking 10th Street kill on Grand Theft Auto. Did you see? I painted one of my cars pink for you and shit. Did you see that shit? Like, acknowledge me. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
That real,
like,
dude.
You see somebody sneaking up on me on Grand Theft Auto, let me know.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
If I'm about to get caught, bro, if you know a hiding spot, let me know. But for me, it comes down to attention. Females always really want their guys to pay attention to them. Oh, you know what I'm saying? I got my hair done. I want you to notice this. I got my nails done. I want you to notice this. Ladies, you have to do the same thing with him when it comes to whatever, haircut, video games, whatever. Like, I'm trying to figure out how I can pre-order the Call of Duty for my homeboy now. Certain issues you just have to pay attention to, and you have to know what your
That's
guy likes.
Exactly my point. Like, if you don't notice that I moved from one house to the next on Grand Theft Auto, you ain't loyal, man. These hoes ain't loyal.
Wow.
I got a whole different crib, and you ain't even notice. Like, I went from a 6-car garage to a 10-car garage, and you ain't even fucking notice. You feel me? Like, what the fuck is that about?
And then if you're playing the new Grand Theft Auto, and I'm trying to hide, and you see that these lights is close to me, you need to tell me, oh, you need to move up a little bit, because you're about to get caught.
Exactly.
Wow.
There you go.
And you mute me.
Look, they muted me because I said I don't suck dick. I heard that unmuted.
Oh.
I heard that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Walt, you did the right thing, Walt. You did the right thing. Yeah, I really feel like you had like 30 more seconds on that mute, but like you came back in anyway.
I don't agree with what you say, JR. I wasn't agreeing with what you were saying. That's why he muted me.
Well, I mean,
I think it shouldn't be every single time you're playing the game, we got to sit there. If it's a game I like, I have no problem. I love Grand Theft Auto. But Madden and all that other stuff and Halo, it'll be messed up if I go to sleep. That's crazy. If I'm sitting here and I want to have a period talk with you, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to have a talk, so it has to go both ways. Guys exit, too, on some situations, so we should be allowed to exit on some situations. Now, I understand maybe playing the game with you every now and then, but, I mean, if I fall asleep because you playing a game has nothing to do with me. Obviously, that's you trying to have your alone time. I'm going to find something for me to do.
I don't want to be fucking alone. I want you to pay attention.
Well, most guys I know don't want to be bothered. I don't care.
Moral support.
Want don't want to be bothered because if I'm there and I'm watching you play the game and you suck, you ain't going to like me. You ain't not going to like me by the end of that game. I'm sorry, I'm going to talk so hard shit.
I'll be
so you might as well play by yourself.
You know, see, this is like Dia, like, me and Dia can never be together. She's not supportive. So what about Dia? So, like, sometimes on Mondays and Wednesdays, I like to go to the gym in the afternoon. Like, not every time, but sometimes you come to me just to watch me hoop. You know what I'm saying? You might want to come through and just, I might want you just, so when I cross the nigga up, I don't have to come and tell you about it. You feel me? Like,
I was in the same situation. Let me tell you. If their gym have a hot tub and I gotta choose between hot tub and watching your hot ass play hot ass basketball with a bunch of hot ass niggas, I'm gonna be in the hot tub.
Yes, that's your motherfucking mind, partner.
So, look, Dia, you are not supportive.
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with Dia?
Like, my
that's ridiculous.
Look,
he's going to be in the hot tub wearing swimming trunks, too. He's going to be nowhere wearing no bathing.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
That's crazy. So, I mean, that's the same way we feel when you know what I'm saying, when you want to watch the motherfucking Notebook. You feel me? Like, I don't want to watch that shit, you know what I'm saying? But I'll watch that shit with you because I know this is something that's important to you. Or it's the same way, you know what I mean? Me personally, I didn't want to see Think Like a Man, too. Because I've seen enough Kevin Hart movies to understand that at this point in time, Kevin Hart is just going to be funny, and then the rest of the movie is going to suck. And that's basically what happened in Think Like a Man 2. Kevin Hart was funny.
No.
Yeah,
it was
the movie wasn't that great.
It was a love-like movie. I did not want to see it. Nope.
Nah, it wasn't that great.
That movie was funny.
Just like Ride Along, though. Just like Ride Along. Fellas, am I tripping? Just like Ride Along. Ride Along, Kevin Hart was funny, but the storyline of the movie was trash.
Yeah,
it was. Hey, J.R., did you see About Last Night?
Yes, I seen About Last Night. That movie was horrible.
Now, that's a champion.
Yeah, that's the part we disagree, man. Kevin Hart played that movie. That was an all-around good movie to me. And that was the best I ever seen Kevin Hart perform.
It was good, though.
Yeah. I think he's oversaturating the market to the point where, you know what I'm saying? Like I don't know. I didn't care for Think Like a Man 2. Like I fell asleep on it and then I went and watched it again a second time and I just didn't care. Like again, I thought he was funny. He got a few laughs out of me. But for him to have such a star-studded cast, I feel like none of the other people were important in that movie. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that's just my opinion anyway. But ladies, all I'm saying is there has to be a give and take. You know what I'm saying? You have to. And if you're going to be in a relationship with somebody, like, you have to enter his world. You feel me? Like, you have to be present for some of the things that he finds enjoyable. It can't just be a situation where, you know what I'm saying, you want me to do the things that you want to do, and you want me to be sensitive, and you want me to go to church with you, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that, which, I'm saying, I like to go to church. But, you know, like, women are always big on presenting the image of happiness. Like, but I got to be happy in order for me to present that image.
They're right.
You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what it is. All right, next thing. So, I hope everybody's over this Young Thug is gay thing. Because, am I tripping, a Young Thug is making some good music.
Young Thug is fucking rolling.
Thug getting up there with Rich Homie.
Young Thug is,
no.
First off, Young Thug is not gay. Like, no, and yes, your question.
Right. I don't think he's gay either, but I do think that he's using some of that shit as a marketing tool.
His label has him doing a lot of the things that he's doing.
Because this nigga refers to his friends. This nigga refers to his friends as his lovers. Go ahead, Walt.
No, but y'all niggas crazy, man. Y'all, hey, bro, but my opinion on that, no, the man ain't gay. He's just different, man. You know what I'm saying? They can't hate on the man because he's bringing a different style to the game. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just how I feel about it, you know. And he about the hottest thing right now. Him and, what's your boy name? Rich Homie? You can hate, but you know they making the best music. And Cash Money got their back, so
ASAP Rocky is different too, and he gay as hell.
No, man, you see, that's him too. I mean, he's different, but he ain't all.
I'm not really going off of style because obviously you know style is a different thing with these kids and. coming up, you know, they're a lot more free with the way they want to dress. And I'm for that, you know, be who you want to be. But, you know, just the lingo and some of the stuff that the Young Thug say is questionable. But I don't think he's gay, but I do think that he plays on it because, again, you know, people love a mystery. And criticism and slander is a two-way street because if a lot of people are talking bad about you, you can't forget that a lot of people are still talking about you.
Man, that's scary. But ain't no real man gonna play on the fact that he's gay just to get, you know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I found myself. I was coming back from Atlanta the other day, and I found myself just going through my Pandora, and I listened to a few of his songs. I think I was on T.I. station. I heard the song he got with T.I. If It Ain't About the Money. And then I heard another song he got with Rich Homie called Lifestyle. And I'm like, you know, this nigga's all right. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can really just vibe for it. I honestly don't know. Huh?
They can't fool Young Thug, bro. They can't fool with
him. I don't understand half the shit that he be saying in the verse part. Like, you feel me? Like, I don't really understand what he be saying.
That is the slang. He got a real strong Atlanta slang. Like,
you gotta be high, man. Well, I be high for I catch everything they say.
Bro, like his shit is like on a Steve Urkel pitch kind of sort of.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you now, he be high as a kite. Off of limbs,
of course.
He do everything.
Well, that nigga fire fuck, imagine life. Nigga real deal sleep on Thug, man. I seen the post where he was in the Instagram dressing. I mean, this is how I look at it, like this. Yo, honestly, man, I think a lot of people feed into these entertainers and rappers' personal life too much. Honestly, man, I don't even care if a nigga is gay or what he got going on in his personal life. Let me tell you what Frank Ocean fucked up. Frank Ocean didn't fuck up by admitting that he was gay. Frank Ocean fucked up by starting writing music about men. That's where he lost me as a fan. That's why I couldn't listen to him.
Touche.
When he did that.
That's true. Oh, my
God.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Let me tell you what the turning point for me. When this nigga dropped Forrest Gump, I'm running through your mind, boy. See that did it for me. No more Frank Ocean said.
You
know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, niggas stop singing. I've been thinking about you after they realized he was thinking about a man. So they felt some type of way.
Exactly.
Even though they were thinking about that girl, they still felt some type of way.
I ain't feel no type of way because when I was singing the song, I know exactly who the fuck I was thinking about. So I'm not thinking about no nigga. You feel me? I don't give a damn what he's talking about. You feel me?
But Tyler got his back though.
And he be talking about gays all over.
I mean, that's just what that nigga crossed the line at for me. Now, as far as Young Thug, like I said, man, if this man record a song, then stop recording this sucker man dick, man, I ain't got nothing to do with that, man. As long as this nigga don't get on the track and try to persuade me that sucking nigga dick is cool, then we cool. I don't give a fuck what he doing in personal life. That's that man.
I got you.
You know that nigga real name.
So next question, since we're talking about hip-hop. Do you think Nicki Minaj is overrated?
I don't know. Let me...
50-50. I think she was.
Yeah, I think she was.
Right. My thing with Nicki is Nicki been rapping for a minute now, and I think Nicki's very talented. I think she's dope. But my thing is, we don't know how good Nicki really would be because she has absolutely no competition. You know what I'm saying? It's not another female in the game that's making the kind of noise that she makes. I would have loved to see Nicki be out when Remy was out. When Rod Digger was out, when Lil' Kim was out, when Foxy was out, when Charlie Baltimore was out. You know
prime.
What I'm saying?
So yes.
And they prime. So that way you really could gauge because right now Nicki has the freedom to do whatever the fuck she wants to do because who going to challenge her? Iggy Azalea? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
why she threw shots at her, though? Why she did?
Because she don't write her own raps and Iggy has thrown shots at her as well.
But that don't mean she got to do that, though.
Well, I mean, she's trying to make a point.
I feel like she was kind of salty on that one, though. This is how I look at that situation. I try to use an analogy compared to it. You know, I try to look at that, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, maybe I'm being biased as a fan of Cash Money, but I look at that situation as like Jordan in his prime. Could nobody in the league fuck with Jordan? Like, we knew once you lined up in the Bulls uniform, if you was a shooting guard that had to guard Jordan, you had a, you didn't even get no sleep. So you damn sure ain't gonna go to now because you stayed up all night. Man, Nicki got these rappers staying the fuck up all night. Because if they got some, if these female rappers, yeah, she had no competition. But guess what? She had no competition compared to how they rapping compared to her. Have you ever noticed that there's a competition amongst them? It's an open competition amongst all the rest of the female rappers. It's an open competition. Why? Because Nicki separated herself from the pack. They stayed in the same
style. Who's in the pack, though, Trizzy? Like, what other female rappers are out?
Like, we don't have, stay corrected. Like, it's not many mainstream female. It's plenty of female rappers out here now. Like, yeah. And, I mean, they're causing problems. So, like, it's really a lot of female rappers. Like, but they
thought like, Angel Hayes should have won that joint, though.
Yeah, they're not getting the BET time and all that shit. But guess what? Who's to blame for that? You're not getting the BET time because you're not BET quality. This girl, Nicki Minaj, happens to be BET quality and mainstream or underground, whatever you want her to be. She'll drop them balls on you no matter what the situation to be and can make a pop record, a top hip-hop record. Like, that's talent. So if you separate
versatile
yourself from the competition, I mean, hey, for it, the game lost Jordan. Hey, I get you.
My original comment, I think Nicki's dope as shit. Like, you feel me? And she from the city. She from New York, so I'm going to rock with her to the death. But, again, I would like to see her challenge more so we can get more out of her. Like, She has total freedom to make whatever kind of music that she want to make because it's nobody even fucking holding a torch to her shit right now. I really feel like Nicki better than some of the other rappers on Young Money roster, if you ask me. Like, you feel me? Yeah. When it comes to rapping.
Yeah,
she about top three. She got to be top three.
Top three off
yeah,
the
she top three.
Top
you
three
already you top. Already know the first two. You already know who the first two is.
It's going to be Wayne and
Drake.
Drake,
Wayne,
yeah.
And Nicki is the big three of Cash Money. Let's be realistic with each other.
Exactly.
Nobody else. Now, I'm going to give it to her. Like, a couple of niggas are nasty. Man, Corey, I tell people all the time, Corey Guns is fucking nasty. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger
just killed
Lil
Durk, though. Tiger just killed Lil Durk.
I think Tiger's underrated, honestly. Tiger's been rapping for a long time, and Tiger has given us consistent. I think he's underrated. I don't think he gets enough credit as he's due, because Tiger's been giving us consistent good music. But, you know, Tiger even went on the radio and said, you know, he don't get no money from Young Money. You know what I'm saying? And Tiger, a lot of his music is going to bump on the West because they don't really promote or market stuff for the East Coast, so we don't really see it. But I think Tiger is a consistent rapper. I'm not saying he's, like, super dope. I'm not saying he's one of the best, but he's consistent at what he does. He's not going to disappoint you.
Bella still on Young Money?
Yeah,
Bow Wow
says
he doesn't
want to be Bow Wow
anymore. That's Rashad.
Oh yeah,
he's
Shad now.
Yeah, that's Shad Moss. But I mean, Shad Moss. Now that's another people. Y'all, that's another one of the rappers y'all sleep on. Yo, Rashad Moss is nice. Like when this nigga sit down and write some shit, like some Green Light specials. Hey, yo, Bow slayed all that. Fuck that. He was Bow back then.
I think Bow has his moments. I think Bow has to rap on the right song. I think when he's rapping about something heartfelt, like women or those type of situations, I think that's when he's his best. I never take Bow serious when he get to rapping about guns and all that other shit. I never take him serious.
Yeah.
I can't believe anything that he says.
But he learned from one of the greatest T.I. who used to write his rhymes.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Trish.
No, I was going to say Mac Main cold, too.
McMahon, he's signing too many checks to focus on rap, so we don't really know what he would do. Because McMahon,
yeah.
People don't know, McMahon like the boss of Young Money, like for real. Like Birdman, of course, is like the CEO, but McMahon, that's who run that shit, like, you know what I mean, like whatever. But, you know, I think that, you know what I'm saying, Young Money's a monopoly. You know, they got a nice little roster over there. I think MMG is a tough crew as well. I think Wale made a mistake by signing to MMG. I think that when he was independent before he got with them, I think that he was more true to his art in the way that he rapped.
Y'all said about Dion.
Say what?
Oh, my bad. My phone. Go ahead.
Oh, but I think Wale is out of place over there. Because if you look as far as sales wise, Wale's number one song sales wise has been Ambition. And does anybody remember Wale's verse off the top of their head? Because when you think about the song Ambition, the first thing I think about is Meek verse. And then I think about Ross. And then I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, I forgot that was Wale's song. But he wasn't, he had a coldest verse on that song.
Yeah. He had his moment, so.
Well,
I just played Wale, though. Wale nice as fuck. I just played that, man. But he's, like I said, he had his moment. Wale, overall, Wale nice as fuck, man. I don't like what he's rapping about in albums these days. Like, yeah, I see what you're saying right there, though, J.R., but when he get on some mixtape shit and some deep shit, man, them niggas ain't fucking Wale.
The More About Nothing mixtape to me was his coldest project to this day. But, like, I think Wale do good when you put him on something like Dice Pineapples. You feel me? Like, that's when you see, like, him at his true form. But he used to be a poor. That's what he was. But, like, the verse that he had, like, on these niggas, what's the song that they had? These hoes be acting up. That verse was trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what the fuck Wale was talking about.
That joint he got with Sam Dude is dope, though.
Yeah.
That nigga wrote his Rack City verse, too. When the Rack City remix, that nigga wrote his verse on that shit.
Yeah, yeah. So I think again, Wale out of place. So obviously, it's a bunch of monopolies in the rap game right now. TDE is coming up hard. I think Schoolboy Q is fucking dope. Obviously, Kendrick Lamar is dope. Yo, people be sleeping on him, but Absol is dope, man. Yo, if you don't got that Nipsey Hussle Crenshaw mixtape, you tripping right now.
I'm kind of iffy.
I'm tripping, man.
Okay,
well, first of all, Nicki DeBoe. Oh, but it's Nani, by the way. How y'all doing? It's Nani. Anyway, Nicki do go hard, but I want to low-key co-sign. She go hard because she's undisputed. Period, point blank. 3D Nati, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of 3D Nati, and I'm not just, you know, tooting her horn because she's from New Orleans, but 3D Nati shit on Nicki.
That's going to be tight. She can call him and tell her when he go on the Facebook and put it on Facebook.
What's that?
Uh-huh.
That
sounds
like another New Orleans person.
Yeah. Okay,
anyway, I knew I didn't put nobody else on.
But 3D Nati is a beast. Now, don't get me wrong. I can bump Nicki. I can listen to Nicki, you know, blah, 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 underground Nicki. Nicki, before she signed to Young Money, Nicki and her supposedly new transformation back to natural. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can listen to her. I really can. But... You know, and shots wasn't fired, no shade, no tea. But 3D Nati a beast. And niggas sleep on the females that don't have, and actually, I think she believes she just got signed to Universal. I'm not sure. But anyway, she go hard.
No.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I never heard of but I mean, I don't know. In order for you to shit on somebody who's on top, you gotta have the repertoire. And I don't think nobody right now can shit on Nicki. But I think she might be a beast. I agree with you on that. I never heard of her, but she might be a beast. But the shit on the person at the top, you got to get above them. You can't shit on somebody that's above you.
I agree, but I disagree. But, like, I feel you. And no, for real, though, because, like, it's like, okay, you're making a good point because she isn't worldwide. She isn't known worldwide. But if you sit down and you pop in one of her CDs and pop in one of Nicki's, I'm going to skip a few of Nicki's tracks. I'm going to skip a few of them. I can sit down and listen to 3D Nati all the way through. You see what I'm saying? And I think that's where my opinion is coming in at. It's like, would I skip the song? Am I going to sit down and learn this? Am I going to listen to it so much that I subliminally learn this fucking song? You know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that. I mean, but, again, that's my opinion. Nigga sleep on K-Dot, too, though. Just wanted to say that, like, they got all hype behind his control verse, but... K-Dot a beast, and he been a beast. Niggas sleep on Schoolboy Q. He a beast, too.
K-Dot the king, man.
I need y'all opinion, though, on Childish Gambino, though.
Is another one. I think he's all right, but again, like, you know.
Lamar.
Why? I mean, I'm just saying, like, the music gonna speak for itself. Like, obviously, he has a fan base. But I mean, who is he shitting? Is he shitting on anybody top five right now?
That's just like Hobson, whatever his name is.
Yo, can I say this though?
Come on, Tris.
Yeah, I just want to say, man. I know a lot of people throw out the fact about how all these different rappers and how talented they are and all that stuff. One thing I want to point out is man, me personally, man, I don't care how talented a rapper is. If you don't catch my interest in the hits you rap about, like, I'm not a fan of yours. Like, I understand, and, like, I give respect where it's due. So people like Schoolboy Q and Nipsey Hussle and who else? Who? Childish Gambino. Man, all of them, they probably your great, dope artists. But, like, I don't listen to them. Because I can't relate to nothing they're talking about. Like, you put on Schoolboy Q tab, unless he's talking about a party or something, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. And even if I do know what he's talking about, I can't relate to that. That's why I get so excited. Why listen to me personally, when I listen to people like Jeezy, Rich Homie, Korn, trap rap is the only thing that intrigues me. I'm just gonna be honest with you. Trap rap. If it ain't trap rap, I don't wanna hear. I ain't gonna play with y'all. If it ain't trap rap, it's not even interesting to me. I don't care about what you used to do in Brooklyn and how many birds you flipped in Brooklyn. I don't know nothing about flipping birds in Brooklyn. So like shit like that. That's what I could never man.
I think it's about your demographic though. It's about where you at. You relate to the rappers as where you at, because you that relates more closely to your lifestyle. The same way,
right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, people that on the West Coast, they relate to those artists. Like me personally, like I listen to a lot of different artists because I mean I travel a lot, so like I'm always in different areas. And I heard Nipsey in concert, and like from then on, I've been a fan. But like I'm a big fan of conscious rap. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like Big Crit. You know, Common, those type of rappers, man, like I feel like those rappers are underrated because they're not giving you that trap rap. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. They're going to give you more of a conscious rap. And this generation, and we had this conversation before, but this generation doesn't really care to really listen to the lyrics. They much rather, you know what I'm saying, feel the beat and then catch the hook. You understand? And that's what you're cool with. But it's a bunch of rappers out there I feel like is underrated. And it's those rappers that can mainstream and cross over to both. Like, see, I can give you the trap shit, but he can also give you some conscious shit when you feel like it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of rappers that can't straddle that line, so they ain't gonna get, like Gucci ain't gonna give you nothing but trap rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, the reason that I love Jeezy is because Jeezy don't give you nothing but trap rap, but Jeezy like he coined the phrase Thug Motivation because Jeezy motivates people from the streets to do better. And like obviously not just the drugs is the only right, even though that's what he talked about. But I feel like Jeezy has found a way to mainstream himself too.
Yeah, I'm like, I can listen to anything.
Who got the loud back? Who playing a card game in the back and shit?
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there we go. Good job.
Okay,
good job. But
can we address the fact that y'all ain't name all trying to be rappers or some type of artist or in the spotlight? Like, if everybody rappers, who the fuck gonna be the audience?
Right. That's true now.
I'm saying everybody's trying to hop off into the music industry or everybody's trying to hop off into the spotlight. Like, we can't all be leaders. Like, who you leading? You see what I'm saying? So it's like, if everybody is an artist, then who the fuck is the audience? Or is an artist, who's the audience then?
I mean,
you don't get
so
it? You don't follow?
No, I got you. If everybody's doing it, who's going to be the consumer? But the thing is, I deal with the music industry because of a particular artist that I was working with or whatever. But the thing is that it's too easy to do it now. All you need is a laptop and an inbox, and you can make music. Like, you feel me? It used to be a point where, like, you had to go to a studio or you had to, you know what I'm saying, you had to go somewhere to kind of make music and you had engineers and producers around you. A lot of these people are cutting corners now. They're setting up the shit at their crib in their apartment and making the closet in the hallway, the studio, the booth, and they going in there doing so. Everybody got access to make music.
Right. You don't even need a laptop no more. You could do it on your iPhone now. You can literally make a mixtape on your iPhone.
Fruity Loops.
Wow. Yeah, I think everybody has access to it now, so that's why everybody feel like they can do it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But that's what it is, man. So, anyway, man, moving on to the next topic. You know what I'm saying? Fellas, like, at what point in time does a female lose her class when it comes to tattoos?
Hmm.
When it get into obvious locations, or point blank locations, your face, your neck, all in your ears. Like, come on, man. I never, honestly, man. It's a handful of women in the world that I find attractive that actually get tattoos. Like,
am I one of them?
Mm mm. What you wearing, honey?
I tried to throw that in there real quick. I said, am I one of them? Because y'all know I'm tatted.
You what?
I ain't never seen none of tattoos, not any tattoos, so I can't comment on that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I imagine you got a couple sexy tattoos or some shit like that, but, I mean, these women, I see a lot of women around here in the South, they tell me they want sleeves and shit. Like, I don't get that.
Not
a sleeve.
Nah.
Fuck no. I'm talking about
personally,
you. Hey, we're going on our first date. I lay my arm on the table. You lay your arm on the table, and you more of a man than me. Like, I can't continue, man. Like, y'all see my profile picture, man. I ain't got no tats. I ain't got a single one. Not one. And, I wanted some, but, like, I got enough stipulations on me, man. I got enough markings on
you
me.
You got dreads, so.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I really don't know the exact number of how many I got. Like last time I counted, it was like 23, and then I got like a sleeve and stuff. Like I'm not sure how many I got, but I think when females I think when it comes to females, it comes to placement of the tattoo and then what you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like it has to. You know what I'm saying? You still have to keep your feminine, like you know what I'm saying, your feminine side to it.
Yeah.
It has to be something elegant. I don't think your aim should be, you know what I'm saying, to get tatted up when, like, in the same terms as when a man's speaking about it, because then it becomes oversaturated. Like, I see, like, a lot of girls on Twitter, and there's this one girl specifically, that they show on Twitter this time. I can't think of her name, but, like, she's light-skinned. She's attractive, but, like, she's completely covered in tattoos. And,
Show me a titty?
Talking about who?
Show me a titty.
I don't think that's her name, but it might be. I don't know.
But in any
aspect of it, I think it, when it comes to that point, what Trizzy's talking about, and probably either the same person I'm talking about, something close to it, I just think that it becomes unattractive at some point. Like,
right.
I still want to see your skin. I still want to see how beautiful you are. Like, when you cover everything up, you know what I'm saying? It's like I can't really see that, and to me that becomes unattractive. Especially women, and I hope, don't know if y'all got it, but if y'all do, it's no shade. But especially when it comes to chest tats. You feel me? I love titties.
Yes.
Don't cover your titties up with tattoos and shit like
that. Yes.
Like,
here's my logic. Yo, I may be wrong for this, and if any of y'all got it, I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry ahead of time. Man, I don't trust no woman with a tramp stamp. I don't
know
no
what
woman
fuck you.
I thought that looked good, though.
I don't trust no woman with it. No woman. You can't give
okay.
me a reason good enough.
Yes,
nope.
I can.
Go ahead, Nani.
I was going to say, I got you. Peep game. I was underage when I got my tattoo, and I still had to hide it from my granny. So what better place to get it than my lower back? And then it's like, it's my personally, I have New Orleans. Of course, I have many reasons behind it, and then right above New Orleans, I have the fleur-de-lis, okay, what New Orleans person don't have that. But for me, it was more symbolic. You know what I'm saying? Personally, I have 16 tattoos. Now, a lot of them are the little smaller ones. I have the medium-sized one, and then I have three of them, well, no, four now, that are really big. But they're all symbolic. They all have meaning. They all represent something. And it's like Trizzy tweeted something about not trusting bitches who got any type of flower tattooed on them. And it's like I have the magnolia flower on one of my shoulders. And it's like the magnolia is the state flower for Louisiana. And then it also represents, like, have you ever touched a magnolia flower? Like the petals don't feel like that of a regular flower, like it's a lot stronger, and it represents perseverance, and it represents strength and beauty. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, don't come for me. And then I have a blossoming rose, actually, too, on my other shoulders. So it's like they all represent something. They all mean something. Now, JR went into detail about how, you know, the sleeves, and I don't like chest tattoos neither, but even nothing that extensive, even that is not – that attractive to me, if that makes sense. Like, even a thigh tattoo, period, point blank, or an ankle, not an ankle, what's this part right here called? Your calf. I'm smacking myself like y'all can see me. Don't judge me. Like, just having something on your calf for a woman is unattractive to me. Because when you do want to wear the little cute mini skirts or the little cute, you know, the cute dresses and stuff you have on your heels, I'm checking you out. I'm looking at everything, and I'm sizing you up. And then I got this big-ass fucking cupcake on your calf muscle. Why? The fuck?
Yeah. I think the tramp stamp has been made into that by our generation. I still find lower back tattoos that are done right and done correctly, I still find them sexy to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. I think that certain things that, like, for me, that just defines ratchet, like, anytime, and this goes for men, too, and that's just my opinion, anytime you have any form of profanity on your body, I think that's really ignorant.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, or if you got, you know what I'm saying, I'm a bad bitch tattooed on you somewhere, a boss bitch, you know what I'm saying, tattooed, I think that's horrible. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if that's how you feel about yourself, that's fine. But, like, again, like, you're asking for somebody not to hire you when they see that, because I think it's going to come a point in time where, like, jobs are not going to really be able to discriminate against the people with tattoos, maybe, let's say, 5-10 years from now, really even now, because so many people have them. I worked in the corporate, you know what I'm saying, America, working at the bank for a few years, and my branch manager had tattoos, you know what I'm saying, but it's about placement. When I put on a suit or when I put on a shirt and tie, you can't see any of mine, and I have over 20, I know, at least. But you know what I'm saying? Like, but when you start putting, like, those things that are, like, defamation of character and stuff like that on your body, or, you know what I mean, that type of stuff, I feel like that's just a complete picture of ignorance. And I don't understand that. And I think especially for a female, I think that's really ignorant. I think everything, like Nani says, should be symbolic. But being symbolic, it should still represent, like, softness, elegance. Like, flowers are elegant. You feel me? Like, so you can't really go wrong with, you know, a type of flower. Go ahead. Unless it's like the weeds that grow in your backyard, then I don't think you should get, you know, that tattoo on you or nothing like that. But
I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty petty.
Hey,
Ariel, what's the question? Oh, no, I was going to ask y'all the question. How do y'all feel about the, you know, with people with, like, Bible scriptures and stuff, you know, tatted on them? Because I know a lot of people get offended by that, too.
Yeah, I do. I have a scripture tattoo on me. I have two of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say other people
get offended by it, you know. But I just wanted to see what y'all thought.
Go ahead, Trish. Get your point out, Trish.
No, I just want to say, man, Walt said something about the Bible scriptures and things like that. Me personally, in my opinion, in my, you know, unpopular opinion, the guy who doesn't have any tattoos, you know, if I was to get one, man, that'd probably be the first thing I'd get. And,
right.
You know, it'd be cliche, but honestly, I wouldn't find one of the more obvious ones. I would give me a scripture that applies to my life at the time, and that's something that's not, I say, one of the more popular verses. But I just feel as though, you know, if you're going to, you know, they say something about you shouldn't mark your body up and you shouldn't mark up the temple and things like that. But, you know, like I said, if I'm on the link to do it, then I'd rather do it, you know, with something to support. Because me personally, with my mindset, man, I feel as though if I put a Bible tattoo on me, man, I feel as though I'm safe. But maybe that's just me thinking too deep into my faith and little things like that. But
that's definitely you looking for the back door to heaven and shit like.
I mean,
yeah.
You know. But hey, man, at the same time, you can never have too much faith. So shit, I'm gonna put it on.
Nah, you can't, man. You know what, Trez? I mean, we don't try to share with nothing. But when it comes to religion, man, I think God is a lot more cooler than we give him credit for. Me personally. You know what I'm saying? I think he's a lot more understanding, and I think he's really a person that looks at your heart. Because, man, listen, if you listen to some of these preachers today, and when you go to church, everybody going to hell. Everybody.
Oh,
every single person on this earth, including the nigga who told you going to hell. He going to hell, too. Like, you know what I mean? I think God is a lot more understanding than what it is. I think if you have a good heart, I think if you live right, you have your morals that are intact, and you're not out here just trying to get over on people just for your own personal gain. I think those are ways that you could, you know what I'm saying, you know, guarantee
have
yourself
a full life.
I don't think that quote unquote the biblical way that the way they try to spin it. Because you know every sermon is that person's perception. That's why you can have 10 different preachers yeah. read the same scripture and they get something different out of it and they can preach it a different way. It's just a person's right. perception. Like you, that's why I tell people all the time, like, well, you can go to church all you want to. I think church is a great place to fellowship. But me personally, just my opinion, I hope ain't nobody, and I'm a PK, I'm a pastor's kid. I think 80% of the people that's going to hell go to church every Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? And that's just me.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe not 80%, but yeah, I'm in the ballpark with you. but I do know the devil go to church. The devil go to church just as much as you do. So I think with that being said and done, you gotta be well equipped.
Right.
And I feel, the other day, it's funny you said something about that. Yo, I literally had, I think that was me the other day when I was tweeting about the theory of creation and you know things like that. Yo, I had to at least get 120 mentions. Yo, I ignore so many people.
Bruh.
Yo, like, on me, I got at least 120 missions from atheists telling me how stupid I am. Yeah, I'm like, you know, some things, like I said, I don't know about, you know, any of you guys and, you know, your beliefs and things like that. And I really don't try to, you know what I'm saying, force my religion on anybody else. What I do try to do is enlighten or to show the light and, you know, really show you some common sense. Because a lot of this stuff common sense to me, man. Like they, you know, like they said about the theory of evolution and the Big Bang theory, and basically life was produced from a single cell. But at the same time, man, I'm trying to tell you that chaos can't produce order. And if, you know, I don't know where y'all live at, but if you live on the same earth as me, man, this earth, everything goes by order, and more importantly, everything goes by time. Think of something you do every day in life that you don't do by time.
I think this world is totally out of order. I think the world is totally out of order.
My point is, whether it's out of order or in order, it's order. It was order there. And when I say order, not what humans do. I mean the sun comes up at a certain time or
sun goes down.
You know every morning the sun is going to rise. Yo, I don't give a fuck if you live to see it. Every morning that sun is going to rise. I promise you. It's going to rise. You may not, but that sun is going to come up every morning. That moon is going to come up every night. So I mean that's order in itself. When it get cold, leaves die. I mean all that's order. So and, I mean science tells you the same breath that chaos can't produce order. You got all these people. Like that's my argument. This is my biggest argument to atheists. You know, you got billions of people, plants and animals. Everybody got different characteristics, different things that make you distinctive from the next thing. And you telling me all that was produced from a single cell, man? It don't even, like some shit is just common sense, man. It don't even sound right. It sounds really
yeah,
like,
man, like,
more
I tell people at the end of the day, man. You just, I just try to live right, man. And I know the Bible from growing up in church, but I honestly don't need the Bible to tell me how to live right because I have morals. You understand what I'm saying? Like I have morals and I have character. I know the right thing to do. The Bible is a template, and like you can try to base your life off of that. But like I said, people, when you live up and you grow up in this world, like you know. Like the things that are right and are wrong. And I think that if you are trying to live right, you know what I'm saying, and just try to do the best you can to be a stand-up citizen, because nobody that's living this earth, that's walking this earth right now can tell you what happens after you die. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody that's walking this earth can tell you about what happens post-death. You understand what I'm saying? So like you have to try to make your life as right as possible while you're living it. And then I think everything else will take care of itself. I pray to God, I believe in God, but at the same time, me praying and not getting up and living right is going to be pointless. So I think that everybody can make a conscious effort to live right. Then I think that that's half the battle right there. Because you can quote the scriptures and you can read the Bible back and forth a million times, but at the same time, like you just have to live your life a certain way. And I don't think you necessarily need to go scripture by scripture to know how to live right. You know what I mean? I have a knowledge of the Bible, but I don't know it like the back of my hand. But I know the difference between right and wrong.
Okay, JR, three things for everybody. One, we need to have, like, a sidebar coming to Jesus conversation outside of the show because the time slot is not going to allow me enough time to really school you on what you just said.
Yeah,
two,
I don't agree with none of that, bro.
Yeah, two.
Well, I heard some of it. Yeah, a couple of it. But that's his own personal
opinion. Two, time doesn't exist.
True,
but there's still some schooling that needs to go into that concept, into that thought. Okay, two, time doesn't exist. Clocks do. Think about it. Three,
I'll be lost forever.
If everything started from a single cell, cool. Where does a single cell come from then?
The bang. The Big Bang
saying.
Causes the cell. The
but
Big Bang.
What caused the Big Bang then? What caused the bang? The Earth just decided to shake and do it?
The Earth was all.
What they said, the combination of atoms and molecules and cells and.
So where did
what's
the
all,
atoms
the
and molecules and cells come from? You shouldn't say, like, and not
yeah,
to sound
exactly.
patronizing, but that's how you have to come at. I mean, because people come at me on a regular basis, you'd be surprised. And I really feel like. When stuff like that happens, like, it's like I could be chilling. You know what I'm saying? Just chilling, but it's not necessarily God testing my faith, but it's kind of like, okay, you still my child. What you doing? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If I haven't been in the word like I'm supposed to be, all right, what you doing? All right, well, I'm going to throw this your way to make sure you get your word in. Or if we have debates here on Masturbators about it, it's like, dang, like, sometimes when I'm talking to y'all, I know stuff I ain't even know that I knew. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, period, point blank, like, that's the way that you have to approach it, because just like you strong in your faith, people going to be strong in what they believe in, too. So you ask questions.
Right.
You ask questions to shake and rattle their whole concept. Okay, how? All right, why? Who?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Them basic
and
like,
questions
from school. Oh, easier, but guess what? I have answers. Period, point blank. I have answers. And I have the basic instructions before leaving Earth, too. So,
yeah, that's
you know
what I'm
saying? I'm good.
Yo, can I say that?
Yeah, you can say it.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said, that's just the part where I disagreed on. I feel as though the Bible was written as your blueprint. Like you said, I think it stands for, you know, the basic instructions before leaving Earth. So if God here, this is how I look at it. Like I said, it's just my opinion. But if God wrote you the blueprint, which is, well, technically the Bible. He wrote you the blueprint to life and how to live it. The people, I mean, if you go and look at it as, well, I make my own blueprint. See, now you become a person where you're saying, well, look, okay, I understand this is how you wanted me to go, but this is how I'm going to live my life. This is how I'm going to take my own route. I'm going to write my own story. So, you know, I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at it.
My question to you, Trizzy, is like, so you read the Bible verbatim, front to back? You know the whole Bible?
No.
Let me get my point out. So if you don't know the Bible back and forth, you feel what I'm saying? At some point in time, you had to take what little that you did know, you had to apply it to your life. You have to live your life the best way you can. I'm not denouncing the Bible at all. I believe in the Bible too, but I know me personally, I do not know it backwards and forward. You know what I'm saying? I know little bit that I've read, and I know that the sermons that I get from the times of growing up in the church, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But at some point in time, I had to just go out and live my life right based on what I know, based on, like, the things that I feel like are right and wrong to do. You know what I'm saying? Because, unless you know it verbatim and you can, like, you can't really say that you live your life based on the Bible. Because if that's the case, if that's the case, then that means that we all hellbound, because we all, you violate the Ten Commandments all the time.
That's the point. We were all hell bound, sweetheart. Like, that's what you have to pay attention to and recognize and realize. None of us are going to be perfection, period. The minute we were born into this world, we were born into sin.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose
of
him dying.
Okay, period, point blank. That's the whole point of Jesus sacrificing. He died for all of our sins. It is
he knew you were
going to sin. You know what I'm saying? Period, point blank. Think about it. God is omnipresent. Okay? God is outside of time, okay? He set all of this up, period, point blank, because he already, okay, think of it like this. This is how it's broken down to me. You know how when we watch a movie, we have to see the movie in pieces. We get the beginning, we get the middle, and we get the end. Think of life as a movie. Picture God sitting back chilling, right?
He's not watching
the movie, period. He's not watching it beginning, middle, end. He sees the whole movie. See, we have these restraints of time, and we have this, like, we only use 10% of our brain capacity. 10%. You see what I'm saying? So it's not meant for us to completely, fully grasp and understand, but let me backtrack and get back on track. Period, point blank, is not meant for you to know the Bible word for word, front to back. Because
I don't
truth
believe nobody
is that you're going to get your translation, you're going to get your own reasoning, you're going to get your own understanding from it, you're going to get what God allows you to understand from
yep.
it. But
there you go. That's what I was going to
you
say.
You were born into sin.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm agreeing with you. What I'm saying is, like I said, I don't know the Bible backwards and forwards. I just know what I know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time,
right.
I had to wake up and I just have to live my life based on the morals of what I believe. I believe in the Bible, but what I'm saying is that I don't tote the Bible around with me, and then every time life throws a curveball at me, I open the Bible up to find an answer. I have to make a decision about what I feel like is right and wrong, and I have to live with that.
Right. Right.
That's just human nature.
Yeah, that's human nature.
Are you familiar with the Mormon faith?
Not at all.
Okay. Y'all, we don't have enough time for this. I'm trying to tell y'all. Okay. Well, people.
Yeah, we do.
Let me go ahead and categorize it. I'm going to go out there and say it, and I might be condemned for it later. What Christians are afraid of and fail to realize is, and you have to have unwavering faith. You need to, just like they know about our faith, all these other religious beliefs, they know about our faith. We don't know, as a whole, we don't know nothing about theirs. So how can you combat what you don't know? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
My point in saying this is you keep speaking on moralistic values, and you have good morals, and that's what they believe. It's like, well, I'm a good person. I live my life and I do good works, but it's how does the scripture go?
Yo, can I say this though?
Go ahead and say it.
Go ahead, Nelly. No, I just want to point out that I remember a point of time in life where we said, where people started saying, damn, the good die young. All these people, and if you really think about it, man, you know some good-ass people that didn't die. But who's, like, your definition of morals, like, your definition, like, you know what I'm saying, like, man-made morals or morals based off of your human instinct or your natural reaction. Then you got, you know, your spiritual or your religious morals. Now, I think that's what's going to be the deciding factor on whether you go to heaven or hell. Not how much of a good Samaritan was, how much of good deeds you did on the planet, how many homeless people you fed, how many people you got up off the street. Like, I don't think, you know, God looks at that too, and he marvels you for that.
But,
like,
but,
you know what I'm saying?
How different are your religious morals from any other type of morals? Like, what other morals would I be talking about? Like, what's the difference between, like, your religious morals and what's the other type of morals you named?
Yeah, well, like, you know,
because
those
morals will coincide. You feel me? Like, I don't think it's a different set of morals. Well, not for me anyway. Like, so when I'm saying I'm living like my life by morals, I'm talking about the religious morals in which I believe. Like, I believe you should do right by people. I believe that, you know what I'm saying, you shouldn't be out here robbing people. I believe that you shouldn't be out here killing people. Those are the morals that I believe in. Do those morals not coincide with the Bible?
Yeah, but it's all in how you presented it. You said, I have all these morals, but then you said, but. When you say I have faith in God and I believe in God, but then you added but, see, that counts with your faith. You
said,
I have faith in God,
but
I believe in God.
Faith in whose God? In yours?
But you said, you presented it. You said, I have faith in God, but. I don't see where you put a but when you say I have faith in God.
But what was the rest of my statement? Finish my statement. You quoted me, so finish my statement. I have faith in God, but what?
You said, but at the end of the day, then that's when you start talking about your personal morals. So that's when it seemed to cancel out. When you said, I believe in God and I have faith in God, but at the end of the day, then that's when you start talking about your personal morals. I can't quote you word by word for that. But I believe that's what you just said, right? And everybody, did anybody else miss it?
I'm going to keep my two cents to myself. I mean, because regardless of how back and forth with people on it, the fact of the matter is when you look at it from that aspect, it seems as if you are presenting it in a way that you're saying, okay, my works are what's going to get me where I need to go.
That's
or,
what I was saying. Okay.
It's like, you know, you bring up the concept of heaven, but that's kind of like it's implied when you say, you know, you have to live life with what you do have, and you do have good morals, and, you know, you're going to do what's right, and, you know, you basically reference three of the Ten Commandments, but at the end of the day, that's still you. You shouldn't be saying it's you, and it's like you're not going to get to heaven based on what you do. It's not your decision. you were chosen clearly because here you are speaking on God's behalf. I mean, anytime that you do invoke his name, anytime that you do speak his name or say that you do believe in him, you're speaking on his behalf. But at the same time, you're kind of denouncing it because you are saying, but I have to live my life based on these good morals. And so it's like now you're taking it away from God. You're taking it away from the glory
and
putting it in yourself. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, well, God, you got it. I understand. You know, you put it out there. But I don't know your word back and forth. I can't recite what you want me to know back and forth. I can't apply everything that you've already put into the Bible for me before the foundation of time for every little scenario that I do have. So I'm going to take what I do know, and I'm going to apply it myself because I have these good morals. And I'm going to do it, and I'm going to show you that I can do it because I understand right from wrong, because I know. Do you hear that possessive pronoun? Do you hear it? And then it the possessive pronoun in itself is what got everybody all entrapped in the first place, for the simple fact that we think that we can do it on our own without including him. I mean, and I'm sorry, I really don't mean to preach, but at the end of the day,
it is
not your decision. It is not your choice. Regardless of how society spends it, regardless of how independent we all want to be, regardless of the right from wrong, regardless of from what it is and what it is that we don't know, what we do know, it is his choice. If your name is written in the book of life, he chose you, period, before the foundation of time. Before you were thought of, before you were in the sperm sack of your father, before your father was thought of, period, point blank, he chose you. And so what he decides is what's going to be. And so it's like, granted, you don't know the Bible back and front. You don't know it word for word. I get that. And granted, believe it or not, there literally is for every single thing that you go through, it's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Regardless of how you spin it, I don't have the money.
You know, like I'm not disagreeing with nothing that y'all saying, but everything that's in the Bible, I'm saying, but like I said, I know me, and I'm just speaking on me personally. Like I know I don't walk around with the Bible for every situation that happens in life. So at some point
either.
In time, so for some point in time. I do have to take what I've learned from reading the Bible and what I've learned from hearing, you know, different sermons, and I just have to apply it, and I have to make the best decision that I can based on what I believe. You know what I'm saying? That's all I was saying. If that was the perception that I gave off, then that definitely wasn't what I was trying to say. Like I don't believe in God or whatever like that. But I just know me personally, I ain't trying to say what nobody else do. I don't walk around with it like that. Like I have to go out and live the life that I'm living, and I have to take the knowledge that I know and make the best decisions that I can.
Okay.
Whether somebody else feels like that's wrong or not, then that's their personal belief, and that's why I feel like the morals come in when you take the things that you've learned from reading the Bible and your perception and your interpretation of it, and you apply it to your own life. Those are the things that make up my morals, the things that I believe that are right according to the Bible.
First, let me say, and I know it comes off because I sound offensive and I speak aggressively, I am not disputing with you. I'm not fighting with you. And I do apologize for how aggressive I may come
across. I'm not taking it personal at all like this. No, I'm good.
Okay. So what you're saying is, and I really need you to pay attention to the words that you're selecting, that you're choosing to use, because, sweetie, you are literally co-signing on what we're saying, but then you kind of renege on it too. Because you're saying you have to take what you learn, what you hear in a few sermons and what you do know from the Bible and apply it to your morals. Sweetie, that's what it is.
I said I apply it to my life. But I said that's where I get my morals from. That's what I was saying. That's why I get my morals from what I've learned from reading the Bible, and that's what I apply to my life. Is that not the right thing to do?
No, it is. It is the right thing to do. I just think that maybe when when we first started this conversation, is how you initially presented it. It was that book that was thrown in there. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of, you know, changed the whole direction of your conversation. Yeah, it's just, I can't think of what the word is. Pocky mushroom.
That's a cool word.
It's a way.
Offset.
Huh?
Man, y'all niggas with Offset.
No, no, no.
That's
there's
a rapper.
A word
that's a rapper.
But
it starts
phrase,
with the C. Conjuncting? No.
Contradict.
Y'all, I was a language arts minor. I should know this.
Contradict? What is she trying to say?
Thank you. It's a contradicting term. Thank
mm-hmm.
you. Look at you. Look at
yeah,
you.
I thought it was
you good boy.
No, and here, I just want to say this. This is where I got former JR, and this is where I may have been wrong. It sounds like you said, and in a nutshell, this is all I heard. I know God's
uh-huh.
path, and I know the direction. I know God's path, and I know the intended direction. But at the same
okay.
time, I only have a piece of the map. So I'm going to go the route I want to go, and I'm going to live the way I know how to go with the piece of map he gave me. So I'm going to use it as a guidance. I'm going to say, well, water is here. And food is over here, but at the same time, I'm going to go my own route based off of what I know. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of one of those things where it's true to a certain extent, but at the same time, it contradicts your faith. Because if you know what I'm saying, it's not about what you don't know. It's about what you're trying to know. Now, that's my perception about what I get from the Bible. Like you said, when you go in to read it, you're not going to read it to understand every single thing you read. I don't think you go in to read the Bible and understand. You know, I think you go in to get an understanding or a certain level of a comfort for whatever reason you read it, whether it was, you know, knowledge or you was going through something. I know people that go through things and they just run straight to the Bible and they pick it up. I'm not at that point yet. But I do say that, you know, I try to be an aspiring Christian. My personal relationship, God, I can't even sit on the phone and talk to y'all about it because you'll never understand it. So
because it's not meant for us to understand though, because your relationship with God is supposed to be an intimate one. You know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be something that you. What'd you say, Nani?
I was saying yes. I was agreeing. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the thing. Like nobody, it's not made for nobody to really understand. Like you know what I'm saying? Your religion or whatever. And going back to what you said. You said that, you know, I said that I had a piece of the map, so the Bible would be the entire map, right?
Right, right.
Right, so if the Bible is the entire map and I haven't read the entire Bible, then I am operating with a piece of the map, the piece that I interpreted. Like, who's operating with the full map?
Yeah, and that's the whole point. Like, but here's the analogy. You have the pieces of the map, and you applying what you know based off of it. But at the same time, like you said, when you threw the butt in there, that was a contradicting thing. That was like,
okay,
I know the way to go, or I see the path, but I don't want to take it because I don't know it yet. Oh, that's cool. That's what it was. You say, I see the path, and there it is, but I don't know it yet, so I'm not going to take it. I'm going to go with what I know. And see, that's where it threw me off. That's just where
it threw me off. It's good, man. At the end of the day, we know what the show is about. I don't feel like nobody was coming for me. If I said something and I gave off the wrong perception of what I said, then, you know what I mean, I'm a human at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, I agree with everything that you guys said. Everybody has a different interpretation when it comes to their religion, when it comes to their faith. But at the end of the day, I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus, and you know what I'm saying? And that's what I believe in. And I just try, you know what I'm saying? And I just try to do the best I can with the knowledge that I have. But anyway, let's go on to the next topic because I know we're closing down. To the end, it's 11:38. And I think we had one more thing that we wanted to discuss. And this is what it is. Okay, Nani, quick question. Nani, still here?
Nani dropped.
Nani dropped.
She should be back on soon, but you got to hurry before it hit 12.
We do have a good healthy amount of callers.
We had a good healthy amount of callers, but it seems like people, you know, been shy. But don't be shy. You can press 1 and call in. I know they just got to discuss in the power.
Yeah, if we got any callers, well, let's take one now if we got somebody
okay.
online.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're gonna take this one from area code 470. Last four digits, 4093. You're not live with the Masturbators. What's up? Come on. Area code 470. Last four digits, 4093.
Okay.
I guess they left. They left the station.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah.
Ready.
Yeah. I thought you were dead, Carmen. But anyway, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was it for now, though, man. That was, yeah, because everybody else, I guess it was kind of shy, man. But y'all don't have to be, because we had a good healthy amount of callers tonight.
No, it's all good, man. It's all good. Yeah, if you on the line right now,
wait, somebody,
so we can get you in.
Somebody came up. We got a caller from the 843, last four digits, 1919. You're not live with the masturbator.
Hello?
What's good?
Hey, are y'all still doing, like, the topics of the night, or trying to find some topics?
No, you can talk about whatever you heard tonight that piqued your interest. You can talk about it. What's going on?
I actually have a question. Can you
okay.
guys hear me?
Yeah.
Do you think that the government, or do you think that health, the people who, like, the doctors and stuff, would notify the world if there was a cure for AIDS?
I'll take it first. I think it's already a cure phase. I think that the government won't put it out because the government does things to try to control the population so we don't become in a situation like what China's in. So I think it's a cure for cancer. I think it's a cure for AIDS. Technology is too advanced for it not to be cures with this stuff. I think that if you have a certain amount of financial stability or if you're in a certain class, then you can get the cure. But I don't think that they're going to give it out to the public because, again, it's population control, and they use that to try to control the population. That's my personal belief. Anybody else want to take that?
I agree with JR.
Okay. And is that what you think? Is that what you think, caller? First of all, what's your name and what's your Twitter name and where you calling from?
I'm calling from South Carolina. My Twitter name is youneed_icuria.
Okay. So what's your personal beliefs on it?
I actually agree with you. I think that AIDS and cancer and, you know, any type of form of sickness is actually a major business operation, like AIDS business operations in the world. So for them to put it out that they would have a cure for it, I don't think it would be a smart business move because doctors and everybody makes too much money. Like, doctors get paid buku money just for people being that sick. So I actually believe that if, you know what I'm saying, well, it's a cure now. It's this couple in California who actually got cured from the disease. But, you know, they didn't put that out there. Basically, I think that it's too big of a business and people make too much money for them to actually come out and be like, hey, we have a cure. They make too much money off of people getting sick and fighting the disease and off the medicine and off people dying because funerals are expensive. And medicine, if you don't have insurance, medicine is crazy expensive. So that's
I'm just thinking if the plan is to make money and keep doctors employed, if somebody has AIDS and I put them on medication for life, I've just made money for how many of them more years that they're going to live. If I allow them to die, you know what I'm saying, like how is that a recurring source of income? You know what I mean? If it's cures and there's stuff out there that you can give somebody for the rest of their life to make them live longer, you understand what I'm saying? Like that, to me, that's a bigger financial pot than let people die off. I just think that at the end of the day, I think me personally, I just think it's more than just the money because America's always going to find a way to make money, which is why I think the deficit is something that's made up for the people that feel like the economy's in a bad place. But I think that they do it to control the population. I think they do it because they don't want to be overpopulated because then, you know what I'm saying, the earth starts to deteriorate at a faster rate, which the earth is already deteriorating at a fast rate anyway. But we definitely appreciate you calling in tonight. That was a great topic to bring up, man, and we hope that you continue to listen to the masturbators.
Thanks.
No problem. All right, we got another caller up?
No, we good.
Okay. All right, well, man, I know we got about 15 minutes, man, and sometimes the shout-outs go a little bit longer, man, so let's start the shout-outs, man. So I don't know who's all on, but Dia, Carmen, if you guys are on, man, let's go and get your shout-outs out the way.
Yeah, I mean, then died. But we got Carmen on, though.
Yes, okay. I'm still here. Yeah, I kind of laid down in the background for Nani to get her gospel on. I already knew it was going to happen. So, you know what I'm saying? I put her to the back. Yeah, I knew she was gonna come at that neck, boo. But it's all love.
Oh nah, man, it's all love, man. I mean, that's the basis of the show, man. If you disagree with something, you have the platform to be able to speak your piece. I didn't feel threatened. I didn't feel like that was coming at my neck. I feel like it was something I said might have been misinterpreted, or I might have said it and maybe said it incorrectly. So it happens. You know what I mean? But go ahead, Carmen.
Well. What's good, people? This is Carmen. Great show. Awesome show, as always. Shout out to everybody who's listening. Shout out to all my hosts, my fellow debaters. This is Carmen. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @yeah_bit_ I said it, and keep listening. Remember that we are on every Monday and Wednesday at 10, 9 Central. Today's Monday, so it was very chill. I have not said nothing out the way. Crazy.
Okay.
So, remember to rock with
us. All right, we still got my man Dave on.
No, nah, Dave's been knocked out too, man. He it's really just me, you, and Trizzy now. So, Marcy, you get yours out. Well, Trizzy wanna get
yeah, it. Yeah, most definitely, man. Hey, man, it's your boy JR, man. JR_just_right. I definitely appreciate everybody calling in and listening. I appreciate everybody on the hashtag. What I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to shout out a few people on the hashtag that's been going hard the whole show. You need Akira. Is that the one that's the one we just called, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need Akira. We definitely appreciate you staying on the hashtag all night. My man, MarkyFresh216, we definitely appreciate you. Let me keep going. Who else we got? _ nothing but loud. We appreciate you, man, listening to the Masturbator tonight. Want Tori. Oh, man, y'all remember Tori. Yeah, we definitely appreciate you. Just everybody, man. Yeah, loyal. Hot_2Trill, man. What up, man? We shouting you out. Getting out these shout-outs to let y'all know we appreciate y'all for listening, man. But just, yeah, everybody, man, we appreciate Nani coming in with her opinion on stuff, man. And I think anytime you get a group of young people that are culturally diverse and strong in their faith like that, I think it's a beautiful thing, regardless of what it is that you believe in. You know what I'm saying? If you're strong and that's what you believe in, nobody can really knock what you believe in. So I think it's definitely a good platform for us to be able to have this show. And amongst all the other things we could talk about, people are giving their heartfelt opinions about their religion, man. As far as me, man, check out my website, man, the onejrwriter.com. You know, follow me on Twitter. Holler at me on Instagram, man. It's a beautiful thing, man, just to be able to get amongst people with intelligent enough minds to be able to debate about different things and keep it respectful. And that's the thing that we try to do on Masturbators. So if Trizzy's here, I'll let Trizzy take us out, and then I'll let Walt give his shout-outs as well.
Yeah, I think Trizzy just died, too. Everybody died now.
Is it a shootout or something that I missed?
Cause, like, yeah, man, everybody falling, man, at the last minute, man. I just see call drop. But, you know, I'll get mine out, man. I just want to say, shoot, man, shout out to everybody on the hashtag, everybody online who listened to the show tonight, man, people who listened online and the people who called, man, shout out to all y'all, shout out to all the loyal fans. Man, yeah, man, shout out to the cast, man. Like, you know, and JR, Nani, and Trizzy, man. Like, real talk, I learn stuff, and, you know, every time I'm on the show, man. So big ups to y'all, like, real talk. You know what I'm saying? For spending that knowledge. And, yeah, man, I think Jit's listening, man. Shout out to him, man. You know what I'm saying? That's
okay.
Just, you know, shout out to Ground Heart Radio. You already know what it is.
Ground Heart was cracking.
Yeah, man. Shout out to all of them, man, the whole team, man. They got big things going on over there, man. You know what I'm saying? It's going to spread around. But, yeah, that's pretty much it, man. You know, we back Wednesday, you know, 10 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? 10 p.m. You already know. So make sure y'all catch us on Wednesday. You know, we do got the Lost Tapes coming up. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how many people going to be in on that. But, you know, it just.
Yeah, like, I don't know about that either, man. Yeah,
but I'm gonna play.
What's good,
Carmen?
Hold up, Walt.
Go ahead.
As a matter of fact, before we got into our little religious topic, I was gonna hit you with this one, but JR, as a matter of fact, you know what? We're going to save it for Wednesday. I'm going to tell you what it is, but I don't
want
to talk about
you
it
could,
for Wednesday.
If you want to, if it's
everybody.
Not that big, you can save it for the Lost State.
It's not
want
to, but I want y'all to think about it, okay?
Okay.
How would you feel, for, since you're the guys, how would you feel if your significant other girlfriend, you know, we'll say girlfriend, decided to carry a child? For her sister. Not your child, but a child for her sister. Could you handle going through the pregnancy with her and then watching her give away the child?
Yeah. You want me to answer it now or you want me to wait?
Nope.
You
want
me to wait Wednesday? That's a deep topic right there, though.
Yeah, most definitely. That's definitely a deep one. We'll definitely entertain that one on Wednesday, man.
My opinion is a little biased on it because I'm gonna because I'm actually about to do it. So.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely do that on Wednesday amongst the other topics, man. We'll definitely get to it.
Yay.
Yeah. But for now, we're gonna get into this joint since they was talking about you know Rich Homie and Young Thug earlier about the. The hits they're bringing out. It was only right to bring this song in, man. We got Birdman, Young Thug, and Rich Homie. We got this lifestyle, man. This a hit right here.
Yeah, man. Hey, yo, Walt, before we go into this, man, I started off the show on this note, man, and I just want to say again, man, you know, the show tonight for me was a special one, man, because I really needed to be able to do this show tonight, man, and just, you know, to get my mind off of things, man. Like I said, today makes a year since my father passed, and I just really appreciate the opportunity to be able to come on the show and be able to at least for 2 hours, you know, get my mind off of that, man. And just on the way out, man, like, you know, for people that, you know, whoever he is, like, if you have a father or a mother or brother or sister or any type of people that are valuable in your life, make sure that you value them, man, because, you know, at any point in time, you know, they can get up out of here, and you never want to let somebody that you love leave this earth without them knowing exactly how you feel about them. And I'm blessed that I had the opportunity to speak to my father a few days before he passed, and, you know, I said all the things that I needed to say to him in that time, man. So, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to come on the show today, and it meant more than I probably could ever really explain, man, because today was a real trying day for my family, you know, with this being, you know, the first complete year that we've not had him. So I appreciate everybody, man. Walt going to take us out with a banger, and we look forward to talking to y'all on Wednesday.
You know what? That's real, man. That's real, bro. Yeah, we going to take y'all out with this joint, man. We hope y'all enjoyed the show tonight. And that's it, man. We're going to play this joint for y'all real quick. Let's go.
Rich gang,
what's up, baby?
Got like 4 ounces in the 20, bitch.
Did a lot of shit just to live this here lifestyle. Came straight from the bottom to the top of my lifestyle.
My life like
Beanie. R.I.P. my brother Beanie. I stacked the rat to the ceiling. Now these niggas can't beat me. I just might wake up one Chanel and these bitches can't see me. I'm in a whole nother league.
I ain't got AIDS, but I swear to God I'ma bleed.
Till I D.I.E. 28 flows up, I feel like I can F.L.Y.E.E. P on top of these BT. God told me they can never stop me, so they ain't gon' stop me.
I'm in that comment with baby mommy, get sloppy toppy.
I'm bleeding red like a devil, I see these bitches plotty. They wanna know how I got heels and I didn't finish Cali.
A lot of shit, just live this here lifestyle. Can't skate from the bottom to the top of my lifestyle.
For my mama, them long nights, I swear to God, I do it for the coma. I'm Willie B.B., no, my shit's in the jungle, yeah. Hey. Money, home, money, I got commas and I ain't bad. Sunday through Monday, I've been grinding with no shit. I'm talking about taking something from me like no weed. Thuggle, that my brother, brother. You don't want no trouble, trouble. You can't get these fists, knuckle, knuckle. Buckle up like a seatbelt or I shoot ya. Punching on the gas, too fast, and I lose ya. Give me a bed, and I do, huh? I want a head, Medusa. I swear a nigga gone, cause it's strong, I'm blowing super. Hey, grinding for a new day. I'm skating like that nigga Lupe. Hey, I'm on the top, just like Toupe. Weed, I'm in her mouth, just like Toupe.
Get a lot of shit, just live this here lifestyle. Can't skate from the bottom to the top of my lifestyle.
Uptown, so swagged out. Bad bitch,
yeah.
Popping that GTV,
yeah.
Living that lifestyle, yeah. I do this for Miss Gladys, boy. 100.
Yeah, Birdman be like, we got literally seats. You know what I'm saying? We grind on 20s and 35s. 55's Cash Money Records. You know what I'm saying? Birdman hand rub. But yeah, man. We still in here, man. You know. We about to give you something else, man. You know what I'm saying? We about to give you something else. Another joint real quick. And you are,
if you know, man.
Cause everybody out, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just, you know, we gonna run it out with this joint. You know, we gonna call it. I'll let you boy walk and we out.
Schoolboy Q.
I'm just sitting in the studio just trying to get to you, baby. Song's so fucking dope, girl, it's hard not for me to play. Tell the truth, but she was you in the book that I was playing. So I'm just sitting in the studio just trying to see you stay.
See, I've been in the studio just trying to get to you, baby. All night laying verses, though I'd rather lay with you, baby. Bro and panties matching, nail and toes, you all kinda late. Angel out of heaven, such a goddess, have a nigga praying.
I'm just sitting in the studio, just trying to get to you, baby. But this song's so fucking dope, girl, it's hard not for me to play. To tell the truth, for sure, was you in this booth that I was blazing. So I'm just sitting in the studio just trying to get to you.
You need a real nigga, shouty, so come in, throw that pussy, shouty. See, I think you and me can make it. This little verse will get you naked. See, your heart ain't meant for breaking. Cupid's never been mistaken. See, I've been caught up in the moment. Say my type ain't quite a type, but now this gangsta nigga own it. She can twist my weed and hit the yak. I can hit your type without the hat. Put that pussy on the map. I see qualities in a bad girl. I know that ass you got come with attitude and your swag, girl. You ain't wrong, girl. Just when that door knock, lose your thong, girl. Cause your girl, cause your girl, girl, cause your girl, girl, cause your girl, 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 girl.
I'm just sitting in the studio just trying to get to you, baby. But this song's so fucking dope, girl, it's hard enough for me to play. To tell the truth, I sure was you in this booth that I was blazing. So I'm just sitting in the studio just trying to get to you, baby. Throw a low key pussy, girl, you knowin' that your nigga faded. Can I hit that pussy way I wanna while this record playin'? Put my tongue in different places, play a game of operation. Like, na 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 la 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 la, you get what I'm saying? No metaphors, nothing like that, I'm keeping it straight to the point with you, you, you. So, I'ma put this dick up off inside of you. I'm just sitting in the studio just trying to get to you, baby. But this song's so fucking dope, girl, it's hard not for me to play. Tell the truth, for sure it was you in this booth that I was blazing. So I'm just sitting in the studio just trying to get to you, baby. I'm just sitting in the studio just trying to get to you, baby. But the song's so fucking dope, girl, it's hard not for me to play. Tell the truth, for sure was you in this booth that I was blazing. So I'm just sitting in the studio just trying to get to you, baby.
Shortest lost tape in masturbation history. You know what I'm saying? And all I gotta say is that all the haters out there, you know, grind hard, people, man, the Grind Hard Network. That's all we gotta say.
Shut the hell up.